The country, Israel, was absolutely divided. Absolutely divided. One party was saying, our guy has slain thousands, our boy is Saul. The other party was saying, our guy is David, and he has slain 10,000. And it was a day, I don't know if the nation was shut down financially, but in many ways the tension was so strong you could almost feel it in the air. But in the midst of that hour, a nation that was divided, there was a right spirit that was found in a man. Worthy of us talking about and studying and even exploring as this young man launches us into our exploration of God Himself. Why he's worthy of study? It's because the young man, Jonathan, felt the tension from family. He had the pedigree. Daddy was on one side. I got to pull for dad. But on the other side, it was his best friend. Undoubtedly, a young man that Jonathan knew was sincere and genuine and full of the Holy Ghost, named David. And somehow, even though Jonathan was equipped to be king, was qualified to rule, was in line to be Israel's second king, he found this unique prophetic sweet spot for his era. And that was, he found out that the best place for him to be maybe was not to be king, even though he had bloodline to put him there. And maybe the best place for him was not to be an adversary to his friend David. Maybe the best place for him was to be a healer. Do you ever feel like sometimes in the midst of your family life that your call for that moment is just to bring healing? Maybe it was his call and place to be a mediator, to be a peacemaker, to be someone who could bring comfort where there was tension and abrasiveness on all hands. And Jonathan is worthy of examination today. Not only examination, but Jonathan is worthy of us saying, I want that kind of heart in me. Because even though the kingdom would never be his, and even though he would watch his best friend sit on a throne that he could have coveted, he walked through that day with a right spirit, because Jonathan reached up and grabbed a hold of a side of a cliff in his faith that we all need to reach, and he understood, the best place I could ever be is in the place where God wants me to be. There's no better place. Maybe, I know there's people saying, I'm next in line, and I know there's people that say, I need to distance myself from David, but his heart's so true. Maybe I just need to bow my shoulders and have a spirit of contentment that comes on and realize maybe the best place for me to serve God is not there and not here, but right where God has established me. Read this with me. There's no better place to be than the place where God wants you. Do you agree with that? Now, when you're exploring God, it's all about character. Not necessarily at first your character, the character of God. This is what faith is. Edmund McManus makes this powerful statement, and he says, faith is about character. And that is trusting the character of God. That's why in the next 2 months, we are going to study some of the 7 of the most difficult questions you will ever think about as a thinking Christian or as a thinking non-follower of Christ. Do I have a purpose? Is there a God? The problem of pain. Can I know Him personally? And McManus says this. This is what faith is. It's confidence in the character of Almighty God, so that you're willing to move into the unknowns of your life, totally trusting in the God whose character you are confident in. That's faith. Oh, look at that again. Faith is moving into 2019, and I promise you, you don't know what's headed for you, and I don't know either. But you know what? I am not going to be a slave to fear and worry. You know why? Because I got the bandwidth of knowing that I have a God who is faithful and His character is unquestioned. Praise the Lord. And even though I don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know either, I'm going to march boldly into this year knowing I can count on the character of the Rock of Ages. Amen? So when we start looking at the spirit of Jonathan, we ought to covet in a godly way that spirit. But as we look at Jonathan, we see he was so humble. He was so content. He was so for his family, but yet for his friends. He was able to maneuver through this tension and love both. But his dad couldn't do that. And we need to take a moment to look at his dad. If Jonathan did it all right, Saul did it all wrong. And we can learn from Saul's era. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, we began to look at this, and Saul was leading his troops there, and as they were gathered, Saul was not being the leader that he needed to be, and as he saw that his troops were beginning to scatter, and I want you just to imagine the troops there with an illicit leader, and he really wasn't providing any guidance, and they were waiting on Samuel to come and offer a blessing. If we'll look at the next verse, we'll see that while Jonathan was willing and content to live in the place that God wanted him to be, Saul wouldn't do it. Saul, in this verse here, was waiting for Samuel to come. In verse number 7, he was waiting for Samuel to come and perform a sacrifice and get the blessing of God upon the soldiers and the excursion. But Saul, not learning the lesson he saw David learn when David said, hey, I can't wear your armor. I got to be me. I got to operate in the place God has ordained me, just with a sling and not with a sword. Saul didn't learn it from the teenager. Didn't learn it from his own son. And antsy about Samuel coming to offer the sacrifice, Saul, even though he wasn't a priest, rolled up his sleeves and offered a sacrifice. And the Bible says, as you look at these verses that scroll before you, that Saul was rebuked by Samuel when Samuel came. And Samuel says, what are you doing? You're a king. You're a warrior. You're not a priest. You have not sought to have the favor and the honor of God upon your life like you need. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I love when I talk to you in this church. And I hear in your language, oh, it's the favor of God, Pastor. It's the favor of God. Lace your language throughout 2019 is, I am by what I am by the favor of God. I have what I have by the favor of God. I enjoy what I enjoy by the favor of God. You can't wait till crisis moment and start saying, okay, I'm ready to really get some favor. You start living for the Lord and honoring the Lord, and as you do, the favor begins to move. And Samuel says, you have not pursued the favor of God before, and now here you are, you're trying to be the priest, and the kingdom is going to be taken away from you. Now I want you to see something about Saul before we go on. I want you to see this, because Saul was trying to lead and be an influencer without the stability necessary to really be a change agent. He had some authority, but not enough authority. And if you're going to influence your community, your family, the people that you meet, you don't need just one leg of the stool. You need all three legs of the stool. There's three kinds of authority, probably more than that, but three I want to bring to. Number one, there's given authority or earned authority or positional authority. Saul had that. Samuel had given him the crown and anointed him as king, and he had the position. Have you ever worked with someone that had the position, but that's all they had? Come on, act like you live in the same world I do. They had the rank. They were leaning on the rank. They were leaning on that office a little bit nicer than yours to push through everything that needed to be pushed through. But I want to tell you, if all you are leaning on, wobbling on really, to be a change agent is some given position or earned position of our authority, you don't have enough, because besides given authority, there is moral authority. Moral authority. What is moral authority? Moral authority is what I would say you give to yourself. It's the gift you give to yourself by keeping a good name. You know all those secret spiritual battles you and I fight, trying to live a holy life and not trying to be a fool? Come on. You know what we're doing? That war is helping giving us moral authority. Because when you get up and you try to lead or influence your family, and the way you live and what you do does not line up to your leadership position, you may be trying to lead out, I'm the daddy, or I'm your superior, but it only goes so far. But when you say, hey, we need to do this, and the eyes have been watching you make the tough decisions, the honorable decisions, all of a sudden people say, well, I want to follow you. But there's something more than given authority and moral authority. There is spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is that part that comes from the Holy Ghost. Spiritual authority is that authority that comes from the knowledge of the Word of God and embedding your attitude and your spirit and your personality and your actions with what God wants. Spiritual authority comes when you have a prayer life. Spiritual authority comes when you walk in praise and worship and you get in a small group and you begin to build up one another. And I want to tell you, when you add given authority and moral authority and spiritual authority, you will be a difference maker in your day. You will play a role that your family and your nation needs. And as the country divided, they were saying, we want someone who will lead. Here's Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and stay with me with the story. His dad's not leading. The soldiers are scattering. The enemy camp is growing. And Jonathan is saying, we got to do something. We've got to do something. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to do something. Our nation needs the Lord. Say that. Our nation needs the Lord. We need to do something. And notice what 1 Samuel chapter 14, no one even knew that Jonathan was doing this. And Jonathan got his armor bearer. Now, by the fact that he was a prince, he had some given authority because he had an armor bearer. Not everyone had an armor bearer. But he took his given authority and his moral authority and his spiritual authority, and look what he said. He said, our soldiers, and to be quite honestly, Dad's not where he needs to be to lead. But why don't you go with me? Will you go to the enemy camp with me? I want you to think about the courage that took, because that's exactly what's in front of you right now. There's such a need for the godliness in you to make a difference. And Jonathan says, we can't wait anymore. And he asked his colleague, his armor bearer, let's go to the enemy camp. Will you go with me? There's something about the gospel that the word go is just all a part of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Go is such a part. And if you want to deconstruct Jonathan and see what made his spirit right, he was not afraid to go. In fact, I said Caleb because that's exactly what Caleb said, one of the 12 spies. He had go in his mouth in Numbers chapter 13. He says, hey, the enemy's big out there. The enemy camp of the Canaanites are massive. But God in Numbers chapter 13, Caleb says, God can give us this country if we're willing to go, if we're willing to step. And this is what God is asking you to do in this Explore God series, to understand that God will do anything when he can find people that are willing to go. When you're willing to go, when you're willing to go, God can do amazing things. In fact, when you become a follower of Jesus, Jesus said to you, he said, I want you to follow me. And when you chose to do that, if you've chosen, you know what that means? Following Jesus assumes movement. You are going somewhere. I can tell you right now, if you stay in this church and you decide to grow here, one of the sweetest things, Kelvin, was when you emailed me a couple weeks ago or last week, and I could tell Kelvin's a financial manager and he's thinking about a little bit here, a little bit there, trying to help people. But he says, but he was thinking about his own family. And Kelvin, you said, I want to get with you, and I want to talk to you about your spiritual plans of growth for me, my family, and for my daughter. Now, I have never in all my life, and I've pastored for many years, had anybody said, I want to meet with you, and I want to grow. I want to go. I want to know what your plans of personal growth for me. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? And notice that following the Lord assumes growth. Following Jesus, there's cuts, there's nicks, there's problems that take place. But notice when you do that, that desire to grow is what is going to move you and change you and challenge you. Now, let me talk about the enemy camp. Jonathan takes his buddy to the enemy camp, and he says, look at them. We got to go to them. And I want you to lean in just for a moment, because I want to talk to you. No one's our enemies. We love all people. But when I say enemy camp, I'm talking about the people who have allowed the enemy of their souls to blind their light, lest they see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not our enemies, but they are bound by the enemy camp. And this is where we need to go. We need to go to the place where, as believers in 2019, we are not intimidated to march right into the enemy camp like Jonathan and his armor bearer did and say, we are here to see God show up and make a difference in their lives. And this is what we need to do, and this is what exploring God is. Exploring God is going to be a time of seven questions when you get yourself intellectually ready to go to the enemy's camp. So that you're not intimidated when you're with people that have strong questions about God and faith, and you're so afraid that you're not equipped to talk to them in an intelligent way, you won't even get close to where they are. Get ready, get ready, get ready, as T.D. Jakes says. We are going to equip you intellectually to get you in to the enemy's camp to see God do something. Now, dice, oh, if it's all about being smart, I want the glory of God. We're going to prepare you spiritually. Our prayer ministry at this church is doubling. Our life group ministry has grown 100%. We will have 100% more small groups available for you to meet godly people here this year than we did in 2018. Put your hands together. God wants you to go. And this is what I want you to know about the enemy camp. I know a little bit about the enemy camp. I'm privileged at this time in my life to live in a wonderful place, a condo where all the peoples of the world, every faith you can imagine, every framework of thought is right there with me day after day after day. And may I tell you that the people that do not know the Lord are waiting for you. I want you to know what you're going to find out in weeks to come. There is no reason why, as a believer, you should not, with a smile on your face and bold shoulders, walk into any room where people of other faiths are and feel intimidated or lack of being on their same level. Because let me tell you something. The people who don't have Christ and are leaning on the greatness of men, atheism, or any other demon god that's not truly God, they are bankrupt. They have nothing to stand on. And you are God's Jonathan. And the spirit of Jonathan is coming up with you right now and saying, I want to prepare myself. Let's go into the battle. So we're going to go and we're going to grow ourselves intellectually. We're going to go spiritually. We're going to go relationally. And we're going to go missionally to touch the enemy's camp. Notice what happened over in verse 4 of 1 Samuel. Jonathan is up there and he's looking at the enemy's camp. And you know, while he's doing that, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 4. His dad is sitting under a tree relaxing while the whole army is scattering. And I want you to see something about faith. And I want you to look at this. Jonathan looked at his armor bearer, his buddy, and he said, I'll tell you what, we're going to the enemy's camp. And verse number 5, one cliff stood to the north. If you go back a little bit, I was about to read that. Thank you. Verse 5. One cliff stood to the north, the other to the south. And look what Jonathan said to his armor bearer, to his young, come, let's go down to the enemy camp. It's time to see our culture changed. It's time to step out in faith. Let's go to the outpost of the uncircumcised Philistine. And notice what he said. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. What can hinder? If we're many or a few, if God is on our side and we're walking and we're going and we're doing what God wants us to do, perhaps God will show up in a powerful way. As you're calculating your spiritual readiness for moving into this year, I want to ask you this question. What percentage does God have to reach before you will give him a chance to show himself mighty in his life, in your life? Look what Jonathan said. Let's go. Let's get down there and stay with me right there on that slide. John said, this is what we're going to do, and I'll tell you what the other verses says. We're going to go down to the enemy's camp, and we're going to give God a chance. And we're going to show ourselves to the enemy. We're going to walk right in the marketplace. And if the enemy comes toward us, then we're going to climb back up this hill because we're just out there doing this on our own. But if we show ourselves to our community and to our adversary, and they tell us to come toward them, we will know that God is on our side. But when Jonathan made that decision with his armor bearer, he didn't know what the end game was going to be. He didn't know the last chapter. He didn't know if he went out there into the marketplace and shone his light for the glory of Jehovah brightly, if he'd be scaling up a cliff to try to get away from those who were tracking him, or if God was going to work signs and wonders. He didn't know. He said these words, perhaps God will make himself known for us. So I want to ask you this question. Before you make yourself vulnerable to God, before you'll say, I'm ready to step into new places and go, I promise you when group link comes and there's a little nudge in you to go meet some new Christian friends here in the next few weeks for a small group, I guarantee you the little nudge will be counteracted by a big dread. And I want to tell you, part of it is your own personality, part of it is your schedule, and part of it is demons. I need an amen in the house. Yeah, your willingness to say like never before, I'm going to go to my Bible in the morning and I am going to meet and explore God personally. There's going to be a part of you that says, I want to do it. I got to do it. And then there's going to be this pullback. Part of it will be your schedule. Part of it will be your personality. And part of it will be demons. I'm not saying it's all one or the other. But I am telling you, in a country that needs a Jonathan, in families like yours that need a healer and a peacemaker, when the demons in your ear say, don't go, you bow your shoulders and you say with Jonathan, his armor bearer, we're going to the enemy's camp, and perhaps God will make himself mighty and we'll see the power of God in our day. We will not lose our culture when I have a chance to live in it. So I want to ask you before I close, so what percentage do you have to have before you'll go to? Do you have to say, okay, if I can get a 90% peace that it's God, and a 10% it may be me, then I'll do it. Well, some of you say, oh no, I just need 75% assurance. 50%? Jonathan had no assurance, but still he said, I am not going to allow the enemy camp to continue without the glory of the Lord making entrance into that place. And may I tell you the end of the story? As we get to 1 Samuel chapter 14:7, you can look at it, maybe you can study it when you get home. Just like Jonathan said, he scaled up and began to show himself to his community and to his adversaries and the people that hated him. And he began to stand out there with his colleague, and the enemy said, come to us, come meet us. And at that moment, Jonathan knew the Lord had chosen to show up. And in the next few minutes, the two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, waylaid how many soldiers in a little bitty field? I think it was 20 soldiers. Was it 20 to 1? I forget the numbers. But in a little bit of acre, it was two against many. And the power and the glory of God gathered upon Jonathan and that armor bearer just because Jonathan said, perhaps God will move if I'll make myself vulnerable to his place. And when the children of Israel and the armies of God begin to hear that Jonathan and his armor bearer had found the anointing of God and the favor of God, they began to run from their idleness and they began to join Jonathan and the armor bearer, and victory was brought to the culture and to the people of God because of this peacemaker that was saying, I'm going. I'm going to do it. If no one else will go, I'm going. If Daddy's not going, I'm still going. And secondly, he said, I don't have 100% sure guarantee that God's going to be there, but I'm going to give him a chance. And as we walk into the unknowns of 2019, I want to ask you to join me. I want to ask you to join the hundreds, the 3,000 that go to Chapel Hill on 4 campuses. And I want to ask you to reach and climb and reach and climb and reach and climb to explore God so that we can step down into our culture. We can go to the enemy's camp and we can say, we have moral authority, spiritual authority, and we are equipped with the compassion of Christ to see God show up in the lives of people who need him so desperately. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would give us courage to explore you like never before. Father, sometimes we're intimidated by the intellect and the brilliance and the complications of the beliefs and the claims of people that don't know you. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would not be so intimidated by all that's outside these walls, that we would not grow our faith and explore you to such a way that we can represent you to our world in the way that you are worthy of. Father, give us courage to say, we're going to stand for you and we're going to walk with you, and we don't know the percentages, but we're going to give God a chance. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, I know as a pastor that there is personal adversaries to your life and to your family and to your world. And I'm here with Jonathan speaking through me, and this is what Jonathan wants to tell you. Go to God. Go to Christ. Go to faith. The character of God will carry you through the unknown. And this is what Jonathan wants you to know. There was a moment in my life where I stepped out saying, perhaps God will show up. And right now, if you're here and you say, Pastor Danny, I am not where I need to be with Christ. I'm not. I'm not where I want to be in my faith. I am not. But I want to go there. I want to go there by asking Christ to forgive me of my sins. I want to go to that place where I give God a chance to make me what He wants me to be. If you're here at the first of this year and you say, Brother Danny, I am not where I need to be spiritually, but I want to go there. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to raise your hand high and say, I'm ready to go with Jonathan. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep them up there for a moment. I am ready to go with God. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer. Everyone, pray this prayer with me. Everyone. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to be a healer. I want to be a peacemaker. Our nation needs healing. My family needs healing. Where I work needs healing. I thank you for all authority and positions and titles you have given me. But give me courage, Lord, to have true moral authority. And give me the spiritual zeal to grow in spiritual authority and make me a healing to this hurting world. Forgive me of my many sins. Be Savior and Lord of my life. I choose to follow. I choose to go. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord.